It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman from beautiful Michigan Avenue. It's bustling tonight, even though it's a little bit overcast. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Jonathan Shapiro's on the show. He's going to be my guest at the big table. Emmy award-winning producer and writer of shows like The Practice, Boston Legal. He's got a new show on Amazon called Trial. He also has a novel out. He's here for the Book Expo, which is in Chicago this week, called Deadly Force. We will talk with the former federal prosecutor, Jonathan Shapiro, at the big table at 8 o'clock. But right now, the Chicago Sky are about to kick off their regular season on Saturday night at the Allstate Arena. Chicago's WNBA franchise is coming off a strong season, but an early playoff exit. This after making the finals the year before. This will be the 20th season for the WNBA. The team brings back the nucleus, including MVP Elena Deladon, and they add a first-round pick, a rim defender, who was the Big 12's co-defensive player of the year, Imani Boyette. Boyette is a center from the University of Texas, Hook'em Horns, selected 10th overall. She had a great collegiate career at Texas and has a little bit of a Chicago connection. Her brother, current Dallas Maverick JaVale McGee, played at Hales Franciscan his senior year here in Chicago. According to GM and coach Pokey Chapman, Boyette was a steal. This guy targeted her but didn't think she'd be there at number 10, but alas, she was. And now she's a member of the Chicago Sky. Will the rookie bring some much-needed defense to the Sky, help him get back to the finals? We'll find out. Imani Boyette's my guest tonight. Imani,
good to
meet you. Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you for having me.
Congrats on being drafted by the Chicago Sky. What's it mean to come to Chicago?
I think I was lucky. I got to go to a great team. Who doesn't want to play for the? They were in the conference finals a couple years ago, and they have everybody coming back, like you said. So it's only up. I didn't have to come to a team that was rebuilding and have to take on a huge role. I got to come in and do what I do well. So I'm excited.
For you, I mean, obviously, you are co-defensive player of the year. Defense is a big part of what you bring to this team. And you know, this guy had Elena Deladon and a tremendous scoring threat, a lot of outside jumpers. But you know what? Where the weakness was in the middle. Do you feel like the draft bringing you in seals that up?
I don't know if I'll seal it up, but I think
a lot
I'll
of pressure,
help, right? I think I'll help. That's what Coach told me about when she was talking to me before the draft. When she drafted me, she was like, "I just want you to do what you do. You rebound, you run the floor, and you play great defense. So that's your role. Everything else we can work on adding in there." So definitely, I want to play defense. I hang my head on defense, so that's what I'm here for.
Well, you've come to the right town. This town was built on defense, the Chicago Bears defense. But there's, you know, with basketball, the Chicago Bulls, even though everyone will always say Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, as prolific scorers, some of the best scorers in the history of the game, their game was predicated on how they played defensively.
Defense wins championships, and defensive players like me like to say that. So,
what makes a great defender?
That is a very good question. It's definitely in footwork, knowing the game. Being prepared, the better you prepare, the easier it is, because you know they're going to go over their left shoulder, they're running this play, this is how we're going to stop that. So being prepared, definitely studying scouts, studying the way people play.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're in there researching the players that you're going to play on any given day for their tendencies, where they like to go, what that team likes to run, that sort of thing?
Definitely. We get a scout, and I'm kind of a nerd, so like I feel better when I know everything. That's just how I've always been. So studying scout is what I like to do. And then like, I feel more at ease when I know what's going on. Like there's no surprises when I've studied all the players and I know she's going to go over her left shoulder, she's going to dribble left-handed, et cetera. So,
I mean, where does that come from for you? I mean, you know, you say you're a nerd and you like it, but what, where does that kind of, you know, sort of cerebral kind of game come from for you?
I think because I picked up basketball so late, it's kind of, I learned it backwards. So everyone normally learns by just being thrown in the gym and kind of stumbling through it. I learned by watching my NBA brother, watching my Hall of Fame mom, my family, like going to the games when I was a kid. And then I started playing. So once I started playing, I already had the IQ part, not so much the physical part.
What's it mean coming from a basketball family? You just mentioned your mom, you mentioned your brother. But I mean, for you, when you say you started late, yeah, you did, but you also were a part of, you know, a family that, you know, basketball runs in the blood.
Yeah, definitely. I think, so when I was in eighth grade, I watched my brother in Nevada Reno, and I would watch his games. I wasn't necessarily, like, playing seriously yet. And I would critique his games, and I remember my brother saying, like, "Mom, like, she knows what she's talking about. Like, make her play." And I don't know, being from a basketball family, there's a little pressure there, but it's also fun. Like, I'm part of a legacy. My mom's the first one to have a son in the NBA and a daughter in the WNBA. So it's like a little badge of honor, a little reason to go out and play a little harder every night. So,
I mean, for you, I mean, that obviously that is a badge of honor. But I mean, for let's talk about your work ethic. You know, obviously you talked about what you do mentally to prepare for a game. Physically, this is different than college. I mean, you're going to come in, you're going to have to play in a much more, I guess, sped up kind of way where the season starts and you're playing every second game, third game, and you know, people talk about the rookie wall. What do you do to physically prepare yourself for your first season in the WNBA?
I think that was something I kind of did not learn in college, was the work ethic in terms of the physical, get in the gym, work hard, because I was kind of always talented. I was always 6'7". And that was the one thing I wanted to change coming into my pro career. So I've kind of taken that upon myself. Like, I get in the gym early, I stay in the gym late, I get extra workouts, I try to do extra cardio because I need it. So I guess just being really honest with yourself. I'm excited for Saturday because I'll be in a competitive situation and kind of measure up against some of the greats and see where I'm at. So,
well, I mean, you're playing, I mean, the preseason, you just finished up the preseason, you know, obviously with sort of the preseason workouts, everything. You're playing with, you know, MVP Elena Delladon. You're playing with so many talented players. Can you tell the difference between sort of playing at Texas and playing against even your teammates in the Chicago Sky?
Definitely. It's faster. It's so much faster. In college, I like defense. For me, when I was on defense, everything was in slow motion. Like, I knew where to go. Like, it was literally like I could just be like, oh, I'm there. Gotcha. And in the WNBA, like in practice, like I'm getting face cut, I'm losing my man. It's just so much faster. And you just kind of have to, it's harder because like you can't really coast through a WNBA practice. In college, you know, you got 3 hours. So you're like, okay, let me kind of chill this first hour. You figure it out, but it's so intense, or you got to give everything. So being able to give
and
your
mind. And they don't give you a slack. They're not cutting you any slack. You're
not
a rookie. I'm sure. I know Coach Chapman. She's probably blowing a whistle and yelling at you at every time you're losing your man, right?
But, I mean, it's fun, though. You want to be pushed that way because that means that they think you can be better. So I'm excited to be pushed. I'm excited that my teammates kind of embrace me and stay on me and – it's like they want me to be a part of it. So I would rather be pushed than kind of ignored, because that means you don't think I'm going to be here long. So
that's true. Imani Boyette is the first-round pick for the Chicago Sky. She's a center. She will be playing her first WNBA game on Saturday at the Allstate Arena. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about your off-the-court exploits, poetry, and Twitter. Trying to get 50 Cent to come to a game, but we'll get into that in just a second. It's a download here on WGN. Stay with us. You gonna touch the sky. Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, Imani Boyette. She's the newest member of the Chicago Sky, first-round pick out of the University of Texas. She's a center. She will be coming in and bringing a much-needed defensive presence to the city of Chicago's WNBA team. 20 years. I mean, it's a 20-year in the league. Does it mean anything that this is the 20th anniversary? I mean, it's just your first year. Do those kind of things? I mean, obviously, you haven't been in the league. It's your first time. But does it mean anything that the WNBA is celebrating 20 years in existence?
It definitely does. I think it's helpful for all of us rooks, though, because we're getting a little bit more extra attention because it is the 20th year, which is fun. But for me, like, my mom was the second pick in the first draft.
Right.
So, like, that's, like, really cool to be able to say. Like, Lisa Leslie's, like, a longtime family friend. Like, Tina Thompson was my coach at college. So, like, I've been around the people that, like, started this. And to be able to be like, I'm in it now, like, that's cool.
What does it mean to you? I mean, to have that kind of legacy. I mean, you've grown up with, and it's kind of interesting, you grew up with the league. I mean, you think about it. I mean, how old are you? 21 years old. I mean, it's amazing to think that, you know, this league is 20 years old, and you think about your mom, and you think about some of the players that were drafted right at the beginning. Let's talk about, you know, what you knew about basketball when you were, before, you know, you talked about eighth grade and getting into it, but what did you know about life when you were younger, much younger?
I think when I was younger, I just knew that's, like, what my mom did. Like, that's what my family did. Like, we played sports. And I think it helped because I was always tall, as you can see. And being tall when you're a kid, like, it's really, like, self-esteem issues, you know, like you're taller than everyone, you're picked on, all that stuff. And I was lucky enough to be around all these beautiful tall women. They were like happy to be tall. Like it was great to be tall if you played sports. So it was very helpful in terms of confidence and just being a strong woman and that type of stuff.
For you, obviously, you know, basketball has been a pursuit, but you picked it up late. But another part, you have an artistic part, you know, like everything that's written about you in basketball is also about, you know, your sort of background in slam poetry. Talk about poetry and what it means to you.
I consider poetry air. That's probably weird to say since I'm a basketball player, but there's two sides of me. Like my basketball is just kind of like relaxing for me. It's something I can do and kind of like lose the world. While poetry is my outlet for me to talk about things that I can't say out loud. You know, like you can't tell everybody because no one really wants to know how your day went if it didn't go well. But poetry, like that's where I can get that out. I can get all those feelings out that I don't necessarily want to share with somebody.
Did you ever think of a career in the arts as opposed to a career in sports?
Oh, for sure. Like I said, I picked it up late. So in middle school, I had my own website. I was in computer class. I was the lead in all the school plays, sang in the talent show. I was everything but sports. And then I wanted to go to college and figured out that basketball was the fastest way there. So
you got a scholarship and thing. But I mean, talk about the role poetry played in your life. Because as you mentioned, I mean, the idea of it being an outlet was something that you needed.
Yeah, I grew up in an abusive home, by no fault of my parents, just kind of terrible situations. And for me, when I was younger, I couldn't tell you what was wrong. Like, I always felt like a black sheep, always felt, like, isolated, but I felt like I was the only one. And, like, my dad remarried when I was maybe 8 years old or so, and they had two daughters from that marriage, and I felt like everybody was happy, and it was just me. So I didn't want to be the one to ruin this, like, happy picture. So I kind of felt like, how do I say these type of things? And no one really could listen to me when I talk. Like, they were kind of just like, how are you doing? Good. Yeah. And that was it, right?
Right.
But when I wrote, they were like, what'd you write? Oh, my God, let me read it to me, read it to me.
And that because was because it bared more of what your emotions.
Exactly. And that's, like, how I got people to listen to me. Like, when I figured out, like, wow, people want to know what I'm writing. Like, people want to hear this. Like, my dad, he hated listening to what I wrote because he'd be like, this is really morbid but well written. Right. That was like his favorite.
I really
line.
Like the prose. I like what you're doing here. Grammar's great. Can we talk about what the feelings?
Right. Exactly. Right. But that's kind of like was how I kind of got through all of my dark times was by writing. And then like in college, I figured out what slam poetry was. For those of you that don't know, slam poetry is competition for writers.
Right. We did Louder Than Bomb is a big thing here in Chicago. It's a tournament. You just missed it. It was just in the spring. It's every spring. It's a tremendous tournament.
Yeah, I'm totally going to Green Mill. I have that on my list. I've gone to Weed's Poetry Open Mic. I've done that and met some cool people there who have like, this is not your scene. You're too young for this, but we'll send you to the poetry for your age group.
You're not 50,
exactly.
And you're not hanging out with Gregorio and the guys who are like,
exactly.
Who's the tall 21-year-old with the Chicago Sky entourage?
Exactly what happened. But yeah, so I'm totally gonna get in poetry out here. I'm excited for that. But in college, I figured out slam poetry, and I also at the same time found a way to come to terms with my past because that's kind of what college was for me. It was like the epitome of a growing situation and figuring out what happiness was, how to deal with my mental illness. I've been diagnosed as clinically depressed for the majority of my life. And I didn't really know how to deal with that or talk about it. And I come from a very Christian household, very much, we kind of believe in psychiatry, but let's pray about it type family. So that was hard for me growing up. And when I got to college, I was able to talk about that. I was able to talk about my sexual abuse, was able to do all of that in my poetry and use basketball, which gave me this platform to talk about things that I thought were important. So,
well, I mean, do you see an intersection between your life in poetry and your life in basketball? I mean, obviously both have been outlets for you in different ways. I mean, physical and mental and also emotional in the poetry. Is there an intersection and how they sort of help you cope with life?
Definitely. I hate working out, ironically, but afterwards, I feel like, you know, it's nice to release all that energy. And I wouldn't be able to tell my story and help so many people, at least I think I am, you know, inspire people, talk about these things if I didn't have the platform that basketball gives me. So, like, I want to change the world because I'm still in that cute, optimistic phase that we all start out as. And I can't do that without a platform. No one wants to listen to a random person.
Well, but in 10 years, we'll have you back. Veteran Imani Boyette will be in studio. Last question. I mean, you obviously are a prolific writer and you're comfortable in that skin because you've been able to use social media, Twitter especially, where you have a campaign going to try and get 50 Cent to come to the Chicago Sky game. And it's hilarious. There's 50 reasons why you should come to the game. But it's grabbing attention. The WNBA seems to like it. People are retweeting it here and there. So, I mean, you're definitely, writing online and writing on social media is not a foreign experience to you.
No, it's fun. I think that's why we have the internet. It's to be fun, be goofy, and kind of just have that. I love 50 Cent. I've loved him for a very long time. So this is just a reason for me to tell the world about my love. And hopefully he'll come to a game. 50, if you're listening, come through.
We do hit about 30, 35 states.
Okay,
I'm not sure he's listening to AM radio right now, but
there's
There is a chance. I'm saying there is a chance.
And if you've seen anything that JaVale McGee does on any social media,
right,
you would know I come from a very, very prolific social media background.
Well, it's a tremendous story, and congratulations on being drafted, and welcome to Chicago. The newest Chicago Sky member, center, Imani Boyette, she is the first-round pick from the University of Texas. She's going to bring some much-needed defense to the Sky. The season begins on Saturday night.
Be there.
Against Connecticut at the Allstate Arena. Imani, thanks so much for taking some time out to come in and share your story.
Thank you for having me.